There goes Lance in the open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Oh, baby, this gets pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
What's up, Bison fans, and welcome back to a very special edition of Bison Report Radio. I am your host, Ross Uglum, publisher of Bison Report for 24/7 Sports. And joining me on the line is none other than a top 10 pick on Thursday, our guy, number 5, the kid from the intro, the kid who's pretty good, that kid's right here. Trey, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
I want to ask you right away, kind of about your experience on Saturday and kind of about your experience as a whole. Like, I feel like everybody was kind of robbed of this fall. Like, I think you guys against Oregon would have been super fun. I know Jabril was already gone, but you, Dylan, Carson, Phoenix gets hurt, et cetera, et cetera. Like, what might have happened in the fall of 2020, I think, really might have been a special squad.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think, like you said, I think just this group, from a talent standpoint, from a work standpoint, you know, from a body of work standpoint, I think 2020 would have been, I mean, one of the most special teams that we ever had. And, you know, I don't like to think about it a whole lot, as you can imagine, just because, you know, it's just one of the things that we can't control. So I don't worry about it a whole lot and try not to think about it. But yeah, guys in that locker room and guys have definitely talked about it, but, you know, it's what the Bison do, just move on and reload and control what we can control. So, they're going to keep this thing rolling.
We will move on. I just want to ask, like, two questions. First, what has it been like for you when things haven't gone their way and there's nothing you can do about it?
Yeah, it's really, really hard, as you can imagine, just because I think one of the things is, like you said, I mean, I feel like I'm still part of this team, you know, it's still we and not them, which obviously that kind of mindset will change over time, I'm sure. But I mean, I played and conditioned and lifted with every single guy in that locker room. So it's hard to not feel like I'm still a part of it, even when I'm not there. But yeah, obviously, you know, being able to be around when I'm in Fargo and even when I'm not, you know, being able to FaceTime with Zeb and Cam and the quarterbacks and Coach Hebert and Coach Roll, and I mean, just talk through game plan, talk through, you know, what they see and what they like. And I mean, I still feel, you know, like I'm somewhat a part of it, even though I'm not obviously, you know, contributing the same role I had. But yeah, as you can imagine, it's hard. I just sit there pacing and sweating, and regardless of where I'm at watching the game. So yeah, I want those guys obviously the best for them, and I mean, I know they're going to keep doing things the right way.
Last one on that kind of topic, I guess, but people now, I think it's twice. I've seen you up there twice, but talk to me about, because I believe you were there after your pro day and then you were here for the playoff game. Have you been here for a game other than those two times?
I was here for Illinois State, South Dakota State, and Eastern Washington.
Okay, I didn't realize you were here for SDSU. Yeah. All right, so what do you do? I mean, I know you're up with, like, Randy and Connor and Tyler. What is your function? How do you kind of handle things when you are in the stadium? Because, you know, people, the game's on ESPN, whatever, like, they see the camera zooms in on you because you're going to be drafted highly, et cetera. And I think people are like, oh, man, what's he doing? Not that you shouldn't be there, but sincerely wondering, like, what's he doing?
Yeah, I mean, like my thing, biggest thing is, like, obviously I'm not there every single day. So it's not obviously my place to do too much. So I obviously try to help as much as they want me to help. But really just, I'm on the headset during the game. Obviously Zeb sends me the updated game card every day of every week. So whatever he gets, he sends it straight to me. So, I mean, I have a pretty good idea, especially, you know, conference opponents, what we're going to see, what we're going to get. And then obviously, like I said, with Zeb sending me the game plan, what we'd like. So I think the biggest thing, I mean, I'm on the headset. I have a headset and a channel with the offensive staff and Coach Entz, as well as with the quarterback. So Quincy's on it, you know, when Cam or Zeb isn't on the field, and then Cam gets on, or Zeb, obviously depending on the situation, between drives, you know, when the defense is out there. So just talking to them about obviously what they're seeing. Coach Hebberg's on the channel too with the quarterbacks. So Coach Hebberg usually, you know, Coach Hebberg is, and I think it's huge for development, it's huge for my development, is Coach Hebberg wants guys who play the position to coach the younger guys, you know, same way Carson did, same way, you know, Brock and Easton and Cole. And obviously me not being there this fall is a little bit different, just because it's crazy thinking about walking out of the tunnel. I was thinking about this the other day, walking out of the tunnel, there's, you know, when they walk out of the tunnel now, the quarterbacks, there was no one that walks out of the tunnel right now this spring season that was there walking out of the tunnel when Easton was there. Because it was always me, Easton, Holden, and Noah, which is, it's crazy to think about, because that was, you know, it feels like yesterday. But it's a different quarterback room for sure, but I know those guys are doing a great job. And, yeah, as far as just me being up there, it's just, you know, to help out as much as I can with whatever it is, helping Coach Sanger, Coach Hebert, Coach Roll, whether it was a pressure or weird coverage, just another set of eyes up there. And like I said, just trying not to do too much, because I know those guys, they can handle it without me for sure.
What do you think? I'm not going to ask you, you know, about the quarterback battle or whatever, but why is Zeb, and I think I agree with you, why is he so well positioned to already have a coaching opportunity in the Power Five? I mean, that kid to me just screams like future offensive coordinator.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would have told you the same thing when he was, you know, coaching me up at practice, you know, going in my first year, through the first year, you know, going into the Central Arkansas game this year. I mean, he has knack for coaching, and the way he explains things and can, you know, explain to guys why they're doing what they're doing. And he's had the opportunity to be around so many great football minds that I obviously didn't have the opportunity to before, you know, this last, you know, year. So for him, I mean, the biggest thing is he's just, one, he knows the game. He's played in some big games. He understands, you know, the mechanics of the position, and he's always hungry to learn. Like, he's just one of those people that wants to learn as much about the position as possible. So I think that was, and it's huge, and people don't even realize right now, you know, Zeb throws a bad ball, whatever it is. I mean, he plays the position the right way, and he does a really, really great job at it. And I think people don't realize, again, how much he's helped me, how much he's helped Cam and Quincy and Logan, and how much he's going to help Cole Payton coming in the fall. I mean, there's just, he does so much for the program that goes kind of unnoticed, especially, you know, to the fans and people who aren't, you know, in the locker room or in the meeting rooms every day. So I give a ton of credit to Zeb and the way he's handled the situation, the way he's continued to compete, push Cam and help him learn. And I also had the, you know, a super unique situation. I got to eat dinner with Cam's family and Zeb's family this past weekend. And it's just, like, the just amount of love and kind of camaraderie and understanding of the situation between, you know, the families, not only Cam and Zeb and I, but their families, and understanding the situation and understanding, you know, they see kind of the behind the scenes of how much Zeb really does. You know, even if he's not on the field on Saturday, you should see him on the sideline. If he pays attention, he stands by Coach Entz, and whether he knows what the defense is going to get into, he's yelling stuff out from the sideline. You know, you can really hear in the Fargo Dome. Especially now when we're on offense always, but Zeb's yelling out pressures, coverages from the sideline, helping out Cam. So I think just one of those things about obviously the unique quarterback room this year compared to what we've had in the past is just Zeb does so much for the program, for the offense that people don't even realize.
Let's talk about number seven for a second. Why has this, and not necessarily how Zeb lost it, because I think that's what, as you mentioned, like, fans don't necessarily understand the whole story there, but this kid has gone out and I think won the job, like, because of what he is able to bring. And he's in, to me, just a fascinating situation, because this kid could take, I mean, Matt has basically said he's going to start and Zeb's going to move to a backup role. And there are potentially three games left in the season. And he could potentially take this team all the way. And his reward is, oh, by the way, now Quincy's eligible and Cole Payton's here. I mean, it's just an unbelievable situation. Talk to us about number seven.
yeah, he's special. And knew it from the day he was on campus. Obviously, had to get him out of his shell. He was quiet, but let his work do the talking, you know, all the time. And I've had a ton of respect for him just the way he came in and wanted to learn. And I would, you know, I lived right by the facility, so I would, you know, look across the street out my window and I'd see Cam out there getting the freshmen together, throwing, little things like that, that I think, you know, separated Cam early. You know, he's a true freshman, which is crazy to think about. You know, like, this is when I was in spring ball, you know, that was my, as far as development wise, like the time I had been in school, as well as him not having, you know, a normal summer, and half a fall camp and then restarting and everything like that. So he's done a lot of extra work by himself, which I have a ton of respect for. And just him as a person, how he handles himself. And he's still getting outside his shell a little bit, which has been awesome to see. And like I said, me being able to be around him, and see, you know, how much he's grown and just so fast, you know, like I said, being a true freshman and me seeing where he was at, you know, just learning, you know, a new language with the offense, you know, a few months ago in the summer, it seems like. And now where he's at, where obviously he can throw the ball, he can run. But mentally, I think his game has developed a ton. It's going to continue to develop. And like you said, it's a super unique situation where he's going to come back in the fall and be able to compete again. But I think all these reps in the games, obviously, and him taking this leadership role is going to take him a long way, regardless of what the situation is. And obviously, you know, I have a ton of respect for Quincy as well and Logan. And all the guys in that room. So I'm super excited, obviously, to see what happens. But this, I think, again, is, like you said, a super unique situation for NDSU, just the depth at quarterback where we're going to have, you know, potentially 3-4 guys that can play and can win those games. So I think it'll be exciting for sure. But, yeah, I honestly could not think of one bad thing to say about Camden. It's my little bro, and he's the man, and he's going to continue to grow and develop and obviously, you know, take these guys. 3 more games, just like you said.
Yeah, he reminds me of Easton a little bit. That's, I get Easton vibes from him. I really like the way he spins it off platform too. His feet don't necessarily have to be set to spin that thing, and it's a pretty special skill set. Talk to us about Quincy's skill set. I know you, just because of timing, you obviously haven't shared a ton of time with him, but what can Bison fans expect from a competition standpoint?
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. I mean, like you said, I haven't spent a ton of time around him, like truly watching him play in the offense, you know, being on practice. He's doing everything he can to get the defense ready as well as understanding the game plan. But obviously with him not able to play, his focus mainly is making sure the defense gets ready to go. So I know he does a great job in the defensive staff and defensive players have a ton of respect for him, the way he comes every day. And he's an awesome leader, and guys gravitate towards him. So I think that's a quality that him and Cam both share. You know, just guys want to be around him. He's an awesome dude, awesome human being, treats people the right way. And obviously, you know, he transferred from Virginia Tech to North Dakota State to play, just like everyone does, you know. So I think it's going to be awesome watching those guys compete. And again, I think this is an awesome situation. Obviously, I'm sure Quincy wishes he can get on the field. But it's awesome for him to be able to have this little bit of a learning curve and some time to learn. Just because obviously the offense here is different, as you know, as everyone knows. But it's going to be awesome. I mean, it's going to be a ton of fun. And I know those guys have a ton of respect for each other. So I know it's going to be a healthy competition. But yeah, I, again, like I said, don't have a bad thing to say about either of them, Quincy or Cam. I know they love each other. I know they spend a ton of time together. And I know Coach Hebert's going to, and the whole coach staff is going to handle this, the quarterback competition, or however it plays out, the right way.
You bring up Randy, and that's something, and we'll kind of transition away from this particular Bison team now and kind of talk about your process and your future, if that's all right.
Yes, sir.
Randy is obviously a legend. I mean, not only just in the state of North Dakota, but in the quarterback group. Somebody, one of my friends, put up a stat on Twitter that Justin Fields, who I'm sure you've met through this process, will be the third Big Ten quarterback taken in the first round since 1995. In the entire conference, and you will be North Dakota State's second first-round pick in 5 years, and you've all been coached, you know, obviously by Randy, not, you know, working all the way back to Brock, but I mean Carson, yourself, Easton, and now these young men. But at the same time, you left and started to work with Quincy Avery. How much is there kind of taking information through a fire hose, if you will, and blending everything you learned from Coach Hedberg and then kind of refining your craft with Quincy?
Yeah, it's been, it's different for sure. I mean, just going from, you know, Coach Hebert, who has to do so much more as a college quarterback coach, you know, whether it's, you know, everything from recruiting, game planning, X's and O's, teaching new guys an offense, you know, with Quincy, it's, and any quarterback coach, especially during the pre-draft process, it's much more, you know, refining what you've learned and what you know, maybe learning a little bit more, but just as far as the pre-draft process, it's more, you know, refining what you know from a mental standpoint and being as polished as possible on the field. You know, obviously there's little things to work on. And I think the biggest difference is obviously, you know, with NCAA rules and just with timing, you know, Coach Hebert isn't with us, you know, 7 days a week, especially in the off season. So for me, the last 7 months, I've been, you know, with a quarterback coach. With Quincy, I was with him at, you know, a minimum of 6 days a week for, you know, from October until my pro day, really, my first pro day. So it's really true 6 months of someone critiquing you, recording every single rep you take, and more from a mechanics standpoint, obviously learned a ton. But like I said, Coach Hebert taught me a ton. Easton taught me a ton. And it's been really cool as well, just Coach Hebert and our whole offensive staff. I think one thing that makes NDSU different and his coaching staff different is they don't really have egos as far as, you know, what they know. They're always wanting to learn more. So when Quincy was in Fargo, actually, it was cool just getting them, you know, hearing them talk football and talk mechanics and talk why they teach what they teach and then take things from each other. I think that was really cool for me just to see that crossover and Coach Hebert learning, whether it's drills, and Quincy taking the same thing, taking drills from North Dakota State and what Coach Hebert has done and vice versa with Coach Hebert. And, you know, seeing those guys do drills and practice that I've been doing the last few months has been really, really cool as well.
You mentioned Carson and Easton. Randy tweeted out a picture of you guys at dinner the other evening, which I imagine had to be pretty cool.
Yeah.
How much have you been able to lean on those two? And I know you and Carson are kind of separated in the time that you were here. It's not like you guys hung out in the same meeting rooms, et cetera, but you're all part of this family. And now you're part of the, you know, the Pro Bison family, the guys that have made it to the next level. What have you kind of asked them about? What have they told you? Where are you sort of leaning on those two as you go through this crazy process?
Yeah, those two guys were two of the biggest, you know, I don't know if influence is the right word, but just the people I asked, you know, critics, I wanted blunt information as far as making my decision to come out of school. So I think that process and that whole decision leading up to that Central Arkansas game, I talked to them, you know, probably annoyed them with too many phone calls just about, you know, what they think the process, and obviously neither of them would give me an answer, which at that time was just, you know, was what I was looking for, just a yes or no answer, what's the right thing to do, you know. But they have both taught me a ton, you know, on and off the field. And like you said, being able to hang out with them, that we were in LA, when that picture was taken actually, but, got to work out with them, got to spend some time with them. And like you said, obviously I'm real close with Easton just cause we spent a lot more time together. But I know those guys are guys that are going to give me blunt, honest information and always have my back at the same time. Like you said, being part of this family of QBs at NDSU, you know, going all the way back, you know, I talk to Brock Jensen calls me every once in a while, you know, so it's really cool and it's a special place. And those guys are special people.
So you get to Quincy and, you know, obviously you didn't request his services because you're a perfect quarterback. He didn't, if, you know, you didn't work out for him and he goes, oh wow, I wouldn't change anything. Can I get a check please? What did you guys start working on and what have the two of you been doing for the last, 7 months, 8 months to make you a more pro ready quarterback?
Yeah. So I started down in Atlanta in October. And right away it was just, you know, I had only thrown with Quincy probably two or three sessions, before a pre-draft. So had an idea of little things, whether it's from tape or just from seeing me throw. But the first week or so was, you know, I mean, the first probably 2 months, I didn't throw to a moving receiver, you know, maybe a guy running across the field, just for touch balls and things like that. But, his biggest thing was wanting me to focus on, you know, feeling uncomfortable with these new, whether it was pocket movements, throwing mechanics, footwork, whatever it was. And didn't want me to worry about the ball as much, whether it's just throwing a new football as well as, obviously, changing little things can make things awkward. So for the first, probably 2-3 months, I didn't throw to a moving receiver, which I think was huge for my development and just little feet, footwork things, you know, getting my front foot in the ground, keeping my weight back, not dropping the ball, which was, you know, not something I did consistently, but every once in a while. And the last few months has been really just getting my lower body going. And, you know, my biggest thing was I can make all the throws with my arm that I need to. And I use my legs when I need to and not all the time. So my biggest thing this last few months especially has been focusing on, you know, using my lower body a lot more and using my lower body just to really take something off my upper body. You know, my mindset, I guess, in college was more of, you know, I'm going to not let my feet, not let my lower body get in the way because I know I can make this throw with my arm. But I think these last, you know, it's been optimizing my lower body, optimizing my throwing motion to whether it's, you know, adding velocity, better timing, or just more consistent with my accuracy. I think those things have all been huge. And I think he's done a great job of explaining, you know, why I'm doing what I'm doing and having everything correlate to each other.
Whether it's guys like Lamar or Kyler, Taysom, Deshaun, whatever, Russell Wilson, certainly, I think he was over 500 yards on the ground last year. This evolution of pro football, I mean, do you think that, I think the answer is kind of obvious, but do you think that this has improved your stock or at least increased the amount of teams that feel like you can make it in the pros? This idea that having a running quarterback is positive. It is something that people can actually design their offenses around as opposed to just something that happens when the play breaks down.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's just the biggest thing has been, you know, coaches and teams want a quarterback. That's a quarterback that can run, not a runner that's playing quarterback, if that makes sense. So I think the biggest, it's definitely helped, I think, me and obviously, you know, like you said, the whole game changing as far as just, you know, not that running needs to be what happens, just that's an option. Just having it as an option to extend plays. And like you said, I mean, it's not throwing routes on there. You know, it's the amount of polished, perfect five-step drop, reset, and throw without any movement at all in the pocket or inside or outside the pocket, I think, is not something that happens very often. So I think just working little movements and like you said, this whole – my ability to move and guys in the league who have proven it, you know, whether it was Carson his rookie year, I think, again, is another thing that helped me a ton. Carson playing as well as he did, as early as he did, that kind of helps out. I mean, at least for some people, as far as doubting me because of the level I played at, which is, like I said, another thing that I just can't control at this point. I think it's helped me a ton, and hopefully, I guess, obviously, teams see it that way. But at this point, I feel good about the position I put myself in.
All right, you're feeling good, so I'm gonna beat you up a little bit. Is that all right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So this is from The Athletic. This is from Bob McGinn. Covered the Packers for a million years, moved on, and is now working for The Athletic. And his big thing forever has been the vast network of scouts that he has that'll take his call. And so these, obviously, people don't necessarily work for Green Bay, but just are area scouts, directors of player personnel, et cetera, around the league. And so I want to run some things that they've said specifically about you by you and just see what your response is and kind of maybe what you've done to address that or just in general, your response. So, all right. Yep. People say he's a developmental guy. You're going to draft this guy and sit him for a year? He needs to play. He's thrown 318 passes in his life. Mahomes threw 300 passes in 6 weeks at Texas Tech. How do you take the guy and throw him out there when he's this green? Well, Trey, how do you do that?
Regardless of where I go, first of all, I guess I mean, I'm going to compete and I'm very confident that I'll be ready to go whenever, you know, the coaching staff sees that fit. Obviously it depends on the situation that I'm in, whether it's a veteran guy that they want to continue to play, or, you know, more of an open competition where I'm competing for the spot. I mean, regardless, I'm going to compete for the spot, obviously, cause that's what I love to do. And I signed up for this job and started this whole process cause I want to play football. So I think that's the biggest thing, but at the same time, I also understand how much I learned in my first year at North Dakota State. So I think for me, obviously, that learning is going to help anyone. But at the same time, I am very confident in myself and my ability to learn, whether it's new offense or just the speed of the game. I think, you know, I'm confident in that. Again, it's the passing attempts, not something that I can control. I will say that obviously game reps and practice reps are different. But North Dakota State, I did have a lot of practice reps and our double rep system. I know you're familiar with it, but just the amount of reps, you know, me as a true freshman getting the same amount of reps and running the same exact plays as Easton Stick as a redshirt senior, is something that I think was huge in my development. And you know, they're not wrong in the fact that there are going to be mistakes made. But whether I sat for 4 years or 10 years, there's still going to be mistakes at some point. You know, Tom Brady makes mistakes. But like I said, I'm very confident in myself and the whatever situation I'm in. I truly believe that it's going to be a great one, and I'm looking forward to getting there, competing, and like I said, finding my role, whatever it is, and being ready to go as soon as the coaching staff sees fit.
All right. Now, before I let this last one fly, I want to reiterate that I'm reading something. I'm not saying this because I'd like to remain friends after this.
You're all good.
Okay.
Got you, bro.
All right. What scares me? Inability to throw a catchable football. If you really watch Trey Lance, all the receivers have to make unbelievable adjustments to his throws. He only throws it 16 to 18 times a game because of the offense, just not a real thrower. I might be wrong on this, but I think he's 3 years away.
That's an interesting one.
Accuracy in general, I think. And that has been, of what I have read on you, accuracy more than obviously your arm, your feet, your head. Accuracy has been the number one box to check, if you will.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. I understand that for sure. I mean, I didn't play in the offense that threw the ball 40 times a game, and also didn't play in too many, you know, fourth quarters, thankfully. I mean, I don't know. You know, I guess I can't, like I said, it's the thing that I couldn't control, and my mindset going into every single week was why would I want to be still playing in the fourth quarter? You know, I want to beat this team by 30 or 40 points. Every single week was the mindset, and obviously we were – Thankfully, we were able to do that, you know, a lot. But like I said, the last few months or 7 months, I've had a ton of time to work on myself mechanically. So I think from an accuracy standpoint, that we'll see a huge improvement. And I already have, I know. But just cleaning up little things, being as polished as possible. But like I said, you know, there's some things that I can't control, and the number of passing attempts and games played and things like that are just things that I couldn't control. But like I said, you know me, I can't wait to prove people wrong.
Yeah, that little thing on Saturday when Tyler ran it 25 straight times and then had Cam throw a 1 yard touchdown pass. You've done that. You've been a part of that.
Exactly.
You've been a part of that string of play calling.
And I wasn't complaining either.
Yeah, exactly. All right, on to the fun stuff, and then we'll let you go. Talk to me about your decision to go, because I think Trevor is gonna hang out at home. Obviously Carson went, I think took his mom. Why did you decide to go? Obviously the draft last year was right in the heat of COVID, so nobody went. I mean, that whole thing was virtual, but why go? Why go to the draft?
Yeah, so I was really in between, and I was going to do it either in Fargo or go to Cleveland, and made the decision a couple weeks ago. Obviously, it's just like one of those things that I've dreamed of for as long as I can, and as well, you know, a huge thing that went into my decision was these guys here, and understand that they're probably going to have a playoff game, and whether I was home or away obviously was unknown at the time, but obviously would love to spend it here with these guys, but I mean, now they'll be down at Sam Houston. So obviously I made the right decision and God had my back with that one. But, yeah, I mean, that was the biggest thing was, you know, it's one of those things walking across that stage or red carpet or whatever it is, really just that stage, has been one of those things that you dream about for as long as you possibly can. And I think, you know, not having the combine this year and that opportunity, which was another thing that, you know, you dream of, your whole life if you're, you know, a football player and that's your dreams and goals. I think not having that was probably swayed my decision a little bit more just because I wanted to have that opportunity, you know, that once in a lifetime opportunity. And obviously I know I'll be back in Fargo and get to spend some time and celebrate with these guys. But at the same time, I know that they got bigger things going on. You know, it's not like it's just spring ball going on right now. That probably would have been a little bit different. But I know these guys got big things to worry about this week and they're going to handle it and get the job done. But one, I didn't want to be a distraction. I know those guys will all be tuned in regardless of where they're at, but I didn't want to be a huge distraction for those guys. As well as, like I said, man, it's one of the things that you dream of for as long as you can.
All right. Last one. And then I'll let you go. And I'm sure it's a question you've been asked about 150 times during this process. What is a team going to get in Trey Lance on Thursday?
They're going to get a great competitor, someone who loves football, someone who treats people the right way, regardless of who you are, where you are. I mean, I'm going to come in and compete. I'm going to earn respect from my teammates and everyone in the organization. Is you know, that's number one. That's first things first. I'm going to know it better than anyone else. I'm going to learn, do everything I possibly can to, you know, find my role, accept what it is for however long it is, and learn and grow and compete. That's going to be the biggest thing for me, and not something that I worry about a whole lot. I know it's a huge concern for other people with my age and everything like that I hear. But, you know, like I said, learning isn't something that I worry about. So I'm going to come in and learn it as well as I possibly can, and ask questions and, like I said, compete and just treat people the right way. I'm definitely looking forward to having new teammates, being part of a new city, a new community, and you know, being able to do everything I can for them.
Trey, thank you so much for the time. Thank you for being so good to me, so good to Bison Report during your time at North Dakota State. Thank you for the shoes. We will have to get you sometime in the future when it works. We'll have to get you here in the Bison Report studios. But, man, just thank you so much.
Absolutely. I appreciate you, Ross, and everyone in your organization. And thank you guys for everything, for treating me so awesome, not talking too bad about me when I didn't play well. I really do appreciate you, man, and I know everyone at NDSC does as well.
All right. Thanks, Trey. Have a great week, everybody. Go Bison.